All right, hey guys. We are here. Matt's just juicing his beer up so that we can get a good footage of it. We're drinking the Hef. We're here at the Brew Baron Beer Co. Got that out in one mouthful.
Yeah, well done.
We're going to chat to Matt. Not only is he the head brewer here, he used to be the head brewer at Parsh, Kiner, and he's student of the year at TAFE. So we'll get into that and more.
That's why you asked whether anything was off limits.
Well, hang on first. Cheers.
Cheers.
This is a Hefe. Is it Hefe?
Yeah, Hefeweizen.
Yeah, it's a Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
It's pronounced, is it Hef?
Hef, yeah, Hefe.
Whatever. In their Oktoberfest beer glasses, their steins that they've got for Oktoberfest. That's on this Sunday, which will already happen. You don't need to worry about it. We're from the future. But yeah, we're going to drink this and have a taste now. Cheers, Joel. Joel didn't get one of these, so that's why he's not on camera. He got an IPA out of a stein. Hey. That's why he's not in front of the camera.
Amateurs.
Yeah, that's right. So, for those who don't know, this is Matty Wolf. We go back quite a bit. When I was doing my TAFE brewing course, that's when I first met Matt. And he was an arrogant know-it-all son of a bitch. And you know it.
Yeah.
And he was. And during the TAFE course, like, when it started, I was like, this guy's going to piss me off. And after a couple of weeks, I was like, he's a pretty fucking cool guy. And we ended up, through that whole course, helping each other out a lot all the time. You, me, and Mason from Felons.
Oh, from Felons,
Which was awesome. And then since then, I was working at Helios. I left there. This venue used to be called Parched.
I came and worked
here for a bit. Then I've ducked off now and gone to the Catchment Group. You stayed here.
Yeah.
And through all the changes.
VAs,
all sorts of cool shit, and now you're back at TAFE.
Yeah, weird full
learning,
circle, yeah.
Teaching.
Yeah, that's a weird full circle.
The TAFE
thing.
Students for the brewing thing.
Yeah, like, the new students coming through. So
Matt also was Student of the Year in our grade, and not just Student of the Year from our course. Oh no. Student of the Year of every TAFE student within
Queensland. For brewing.
Yeah, no, it was Student of the Year for everyone.
Yeah, it's never going to let me down.
Never going to let you down, So, Matty, what's the drive with this venue? Like, obviously, Brad and his guys bought it.
Yeah.
When it came out of EA from Parched. You stuck around, you stayed here. Was it just your love of beer, or was it love of the venue? What's the...
A bit of both, really. It's a great venue. It's got great customers. The customer base we have here is super loyal. So they stuck through us thick and thin through the whole VA process, changing hands, new owners and all of that, which sometimes can be a bit hard for people that don't like change. Hell, I don't like change.
But
I think a combination of that, it's got a great potential to be a really good little local hub for everyone in the local area.
Are some of the Parched people coming back still?
Some of them never left. A lot of them never left. They just kept coming through. There was a little bit of hit and miss in terms of when they found out about the rebrand, but I think for the most part, everyone's been really supportive of it.
At the end of the day, you're still selling beer.
Which doesn't matter what
the sign says on the wall, right?
That's it. And I think that's it. For the most part, everyone was more concerned, hey, is it still going to be the same sort of great venue, which we hope it's continued being.
Tell us about the kit.
Yeah, so it's...
It's a boutique one, right?
Yeah, it's a boutique. It's a 10-hec 3-vessel, or they think they brand it as a 3.5.
Yep.
So it allows a lot of versatility in it that I can mash in and mash out with the same batch.
Yep.
Double batches in a day, which makes my life a lot easier when doing larger volume beers.
Yep.
Double tanks, so we've got 4 10-hec and 4 20-hec vessels, and then a bright tank of each size.
So it's
got a lot of versatility to punch out a lot of beer very quickly.
Yep. Unique to your venue is an elevator.
Yes.
at the end, where people can't even get in it.
No.
It's strictly for
freight.
Kegs.
Yeah.
Up and down.
Yeah.
For being able to get it out.
That's it.
So that you can.
Yeah, just because of the way that the venue is shaped, that we've got no loading dock, we've got no car park.
Yeah, and Carl had to put that in.
Carl
from Parsh. Hey, Carl and Pauline, how you doing? Legends, they're cool people as well.
It was the only way that we could that they could make the brewery work.
Yeah.
Without it, yeah, there would be no way of doing it.
Yeah, you'd be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, carrying...
you'd have to go all the way out and around.
Around, go up and downstairs with bags of grain and full kegs, yeah. So that's definitely a no-no.
Yep.
So it definitely makes it a lot easier.
Back when it was parched, early on in your employment, it was flooded.
Yeah.
When we had the floods here.
About 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
I think, 2 to 3 weeks in.
And not up here, obviously, yeah, like on the roof wall. Like it was downstairs and all that shit. But it was still... cost Carl a shitload of money.
Yeah, and a lot of time.
Ruined a lot of the, like the toilets downstairs got ruined. Or
yeah,
all that stuff.
So that, yeah, it was about two to three weeks in. I think we had managed to get one beer down with my time here. And then, yeah, we just got the notice that it was starting to start flooding.
Yeah.
And I think both of us came in on the Sunday and it already started going up into our basement area.
Yeah.
And by the end of the day, it was a good meter and a half underwater. Yeah. So...
And do Brad now and the other owners, like, are they obviously aware of it, but are they, is there anything they can put in place?
Oh, look.
Like, is there anything local that the governments have done to?
Not to our knowledge. It's, unfortunately, it's one of those things. It was one of those freakish
living
occasions.
Living in Brisbane River.
Yeah.
Community.
Also, it was one of those, just a huge amount of rain in a very short period of time. Luckily now, if with a little bit more notice, everything's on wheels downstairs, so we can move it.
Yep.
Which was luckily a really good thing that Carl put in place, that everything can be moved. We just need notice.
The Brew Baron Beer Co. Obviously a bit of conjecture around this city.
Yes, there is.
Because for those who don't know, there is a Facebook group in Brisbane called Brisbane Beer Barons. There is also Brisbane Beer Karens.
Great group,
which is
it's even better.
But yeah, the Brisbane Beer Barons, very different branding, and this is Beer Baron Brew Co. Brew Baron Beer Co. So this is very different.
Yeah.
But has there been any angst from the Barons?
They're definitely
which they are collectively called the Barons.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So there definitely has been, and it was nothing intentional. The branding had been decided years ago, well before.
So they were just looking for a space.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
That's it. They're not even from Brisbane originally.
Yep.
So Brad and his wife moved up just as Parch went into VA.
Yep.
But they had already had the branding and everything. So they came up from Sydney.
Yeah.
So they weren't anywhere near sort of the Brisbane beer scene at all.
They didn't even know that
they didn't even know it
beer
existed.
Barons existed.
Yeah, so it was just an unfortunate sort of turn of events that caused it.
But to be fair, like Brisbane Beer Barons is just about people sharing their beers that they're drinking, getting shot down if you've got dirty glasses.
Dirty glasses, yeah.
You know, there's all sorts of shit on there. You and I have posted on there.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure everyone has.
Yeah. Anyone who drinks beer in Brisbane knows about it, really. The Brew Baron, though, it's very different. Like,
very much so.
It's specifically around like the Baron, like the Red Baron, the flying.
Yeah, so Barons, it's just effectively a take on that.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that we wanted, that Brad's wife and Jabran, the other owner, they all wanted to create this sort of identity around the Baron, and that's the core idea of who is it.
Yeah.
And creating that the focal point of the branding, rather than it just being a brand. There's someone who could be anyone.
Yeah.
Is the Beer Baron.
Yeah, yeah. Do your recipes that you've got, like, have you been, like, when obviously you came out of Parched, and you got a lot of local following, because Carl and Pauline were running it for. How long ago?
18 months.
18 months, about, yeah. So there's a lot of locals around here.
Yeah.
Know a lot of Parched beers. What's been the difference in the beer recipes? How much have you changed them? Have you gone hardcore, no, we're not brewing that anymore, and then there's others going, I'm going to bring that across and call it something else, or
So there's definitely some that have stayed, and they will continue to stay on because they've been local favourites.
Yep.
And got to keep the locals happy. They're buying the beer. So there's definitely a few of them that are definitely staying, and they'll just have a name change, minor tweak, and that's about it. But nothing that really is going to make a huge difference. Just make it an easier product for people to enjoy.
Enjoying the hef.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy how that turned out. That's
wouldn't mind a bit more head on it.
Yeah, I know.
So
fresh glasses.
Yeah.
I haven't actually cleaned the glasses yet. But yeah, for the most part, yeah, there's definitely some new recipes coming out.
Yeah.
Over the sort of year and a bit that I've been here, sort of requests from customers and things like that, that I go, yeah, actually that could probably work, and giving it a go.
Yeah. Being the head brewer here and teaching at TAFE, how long are you at TAFE? Like, how many days a week are you at TAFE?
So it's a 0.9 full-time job, effectively. Yeah. So I'm effectively running a full-time job there and a part-time full-time job here.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty full on.
Yeah.
To be able to keep on top of both.
Lucky you love beer and brewing.
Yeah, well that's it. I wouldn't be able to do it with anything else.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
that's
great.
Just sitting at home, just.
Yeah, that's it.
Sometimes I see my partner.
Yeah, that's it. But no, it's a great industry. So being able to do both, still keep my foot in and help these guys, and produce some great beer through here. But as well as teach new brewers that are coming in, new assistant brewers.
Yeah. So what are you doing at TAFE? Do you look after, because for those who don't know, there's a full time course for the students who are able to smash it out in 3 months. Is it 3?
No, it's
or 6 months.
6 months.
6 months full time.
Yeah.
And 12 months part time. What's your role? Because you don't do.
No.
All of this.
No. Thank God for that. No, so I look after, or will be looking after, the second half of the full-time intake.
Yep.
So the full-time intake is split over 2 semesters.
Yep.
First semester happens over at the TAFE Mount Gravatt campus, which is run by Stuart Ritchie at the moment, who's ex-Moo Brew, great brewer.
Yep.
So he's looking after them for their first sort of baptism of fire for the first 3 months. And then once they're comfortable with that sort of stuff, they come over to the Cooper's Plain site over at FSS.
Where the full brew lab is.
And then I'll be looking after them for that period of time.
Very cool.
Finishing them off.
Now, while we were there, our main goal, working with Hendo.
Oh, yeah.
Was to not get a nickname. Because that's, because like Caustic Pete got his nickname, and Dio Mason,
which is now just well known. Everyone knows it now.
I was talking to some TAFE brewers at Hiker the other day. I was up there on a Monday, and they go there afterwards, and I was drinking with them. Hey boys, and they don't even say Dio Mason. They just go, oh, don't do Mason it.
Mm.
It's just one word.
Yeah, like it's just become a thing now.
It's like a Google.
Yeah. It was funny, one of the students were like, oh, you're part of that group. We were the original nicknames, so.
What other colloquialisms have been created since our time? Because there weren't any.
No. So I believe...
we were the first bunch of idiots.
Yeah, we were the first bunch of numbskulls that decided to do something stupid. There's Hotfoot.
Hotfoot. Okay.
So I can't even remember who it was, somehow dumped hot water into their boot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. So, I think it was about 80 degrees. So that's always a fun time.
Yeah. That's paperwork. That's paperwork for that one.
I don't think there's been a huge amount of extra ones.
Yeah.
I think we were the...
That's a good thing about it though, right? Because the TAFE thing, it's not like we're joking and laughing here, but it's serious.
But it's serious,
like,
yeah.
We're there learning to do our career.
Yeah, that's it.
And we've all taken it on. We've all done stuff. Like even out of our course, I think there's only maybe one or two that aren't in the industry.
That's it.
And not even because their just life hasn't
been
able to work
direction.
That way.
Yeah.
But... it's very serious stuff. There's a lot of equipment there that can really hurt you. And we're teaching people a lot of, but you're teaching people a lot of stuff that is important that they need to go out. And it's not the sort of thing, they can't just walk in here and be a head brewer. That's not how it works. It's the basics and the bare bones
that's
of
it.
This is what the industry is.
These are
how to use these tools. And then now you need to go and learn them and experience them.
A lot of, it's great the way that the TAFE program has evolved so that we do have now this larger cohort of effectively 3 classes almost running at the same time between Mount Gravatt, full-time and part-time at Cooper's Plains, which allows us to have some more skilled brewers in the industry, which is what the industry's been dying for, been screaming for it, to have some sort of training, which is really good. But that is always the forefront. Is it's like this can be a dangerous industry.
Yes,
absolutely. Everything
safety
can,
is paramount.
Yeah,
it's the number one thing. Yeah.
I know. Looking at my time schedule on my timetable, the first thing was like a safety talk. Everything's about safety.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it's got to be.
Yep.
Especially with when we're talking about that sort of environment.
Well, there's so many things. Like it's physical. It's environmental.
Chemicals. The amount of chemicals that we work with.
CO2, which you can't even see or smell.
Yeah.
Knock you out.
There's
heaps of shit. Your students who are there. Mm. You've got a assistant brewer here.
Yeah, yeah.
Who does shit.
Yeah.
Are they from TAFE or?
Well, no, at the moment it's Brad today.
Brad. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the moment.
He's down there kegging. He's only the owner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At the moment
go
it's Brad.
Go and fucking keg while we talk about beer and cricket.
So at the moment it's Brad giving me a hand between the two owners. But yeah, definitely looking, that is on the cards to get an assistant brewer in to kind of get them so that they can look after the day-to-day sort of cleaning, keg maintenance and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, cool.
Which is just as important as making beer.
It's the whole process is doing
we,
that
we,
stuff.
We like to make beer, but realistically we're glorified cleaners.
I totally understand that, which obviously what do you reckon is, like, obviously at the moment the industry is going through a lot of challenges. And I have come from hospitality side.
Yeah.
Very strong hospitality, both of us. We've run venues, we've done all sorts of shit. And now we're doing different things.
Very different things
brewing.
To where we started.
So many different things, right?
I mean, even before the hospitality side of both.
But nowadays, like at the moment with the economy the way that it is, hospitality is a struggle.
Yes.
Like venues are hard to get feet in the door.
Yeah.
And that's not localized, that's not to any one area.
It's international. It's an international
everywhere.
Issue.
Yeah, yeah. What do you see, like, what are you guys trying to do that's different to say, you know, I work at Catchment just down the road. We're trying to do a million things. It's Oktoberfest now, and there's like every single brewery and bar is doing an Oktoberfest event.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to do something just to get people to come in.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you reckon there's a change coming?
Oh,
do you
definitely. I think the change has been coming since sort of pre-COVID. It was kind of edging that way, that things were going to start getting a bit harder.
Yeah.
COVID just kind of expedited.
Accelerated it.
Yeah. I think people are more cautious about how they spend their money these days, between interest rates rising and everything like that.
Yep.
So for us, on a day-to-day basis, we're just trying to
I'm not paying for this beer.
No, exactly.
All right, good.
Yeah, yeah. That's part of our service to you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But for our day-to-day customers, we're just trying to create good value for money so people do want to come in.
Yeah.
So tweaking menus so that we can offer good product at a rate that's going to be affordable for the average Joe. But then also look at how we can subsidise that in other ways. So we've got a very large venue split over two levels that we really do focus on trying to get larger sort of functions and that sort of thing. So, and we found that having a good local customer base then brings in the larger functions later on, and that's where we're mainly focusing.
Yeah.
Is because we know that that's kind of the only way venues like this can survive.
Yeah.
Is large numbers over short periods of time.
Your deck is
the saga of the deck.
The saga of the deck, yeah. It was always promised.
It was always promised.
So hard to get in, right? Because of the footings and all sorts of engineering problems.
Yeah,
but it's not open yet.
No.
When can people go and enjoy the deck?
Look, we're hoping balustrading will be up in 2 weeks. My understanding is that it's that close.
Yep.
So hopefully by the time this is aired, the deck is open. But it's been an ongoing battle between trades, time, weather, to get everything sort of sorted.
Yep. It's pissing down today.
Yeah,
there's a couple of storms that are rolling through Brisbane. And I saw you before looking out about seeing where the water went.
That's it.
Because you want to know.
Yeah, so
the weather will affect.
Luckily, it doesn't come in too far.
Yeah.
So even on a rainy day like today, we should be able to keep it open as well.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. Now, since you guys have changed some of the layout up here.
Yeah.
When I worked here, this was an office.
Yeah, we were sitting in an office.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
It's a very nice office with a pool table.
I know, you got a pool table in here now.
Yeah, yeah.
We might have a game later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, some of the furniture's changed. What is the capacity changed?
So capacity really hasn't changed too much.
Yep.
We can still easily fit 200 on a really busy night. We had a trivia night a couple of weeks back that blew expectations.
Packed it out.
Yeah, yeah. I think by the time we worked out, we're about 150, and we still had room to spare.
Yeah, right.
But it's, yeah, we've kind of tried to incorporate some more comfortable areas. Places that people can hang out.
Yeah.
So we've still got more things on the way. So we've got a couple of really nice lounges coming, hopefully in the next couple of days, to create a little bit of a nice sort of sitting area. New furniture out on the deck, obviously, which will open up during summer months, will be great.
Yeah.
I know that's where I'll be planting my ass when I'm doing paperwork is out on that
Although
deck.
It must be said, Carl and Pauline did put in awesome
air conditioning. Yeah, it really
does,
which
is really good.
It does help on a hot summer's day when I'm doing a brew day, having that aircon pumping.
Oh man, yeah, jealous. Yes. There's a lot of brewers out there who'd be jealous to be able to work in aircon.
Yeah, I just go, 24 degrees? Nah, I'll just drop it down a degree.
Yeah, yeah. What an arsehole.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you reckon is the next step here? Like, is it just making new beers? Like, you've got 16 taps?
16 taps, yeah.
How many cores do you have?
Five. So we've got five core, which will obviously always be on. We're going to slowly reduce the amount of beers that we have on tap that are our own. So we're going to probably end up at around 10, then have ginger beers. We've already got a ginger beer cider on.
Yep.
And then have a couple of guests of some other local breweries and get them on and help support them as well.
Yep. Why is that?
This industry has been so supportive. I mean, when we flooded, Easy Times helped us out. They did a fundraiser to all the flood-affected breweries.
Yep.
So it's a very collaborative industry.
Yeah.
So we all like to help each other out. So if it's as simple as buying a keg every couple of weeks from another local friendly brewery, then that we're more than happy to help out and do that. And it also offers something different for customers as well.
Yeah. What's your sort of goal on, like, do you wholesale? Are you trying to wholesale?
We will get into it.
Because Carl wasn't...
We started and it started building.
Yeah.
But obviously everything went into administration. That
kind BAs of... Difficult. Because, you guys, and so our company also bought our Ballistic. Like, we're also trying to come out of VA, same as you guys. It's not easy, right?
No.
You guys rebranded, changed your whole thing. We haven't. We're still... going
pushing
with Ballistic. There's not a lot of breweries that have gone into VA that have come back out and started again. Easy Times have done it.
Yep.
They're still trying to sell their brew kit. I'm not really sure how the brew thing is going there. The VA process.
Yes.
How financially impactful has it been?
Look, it wasn't, so the venue kept running, but it just made it harder to put more money in to keep things going, because it was at a very difficult time. Everyone was quiet in the industry, so it was at a time where everyone was bleeding money. So I know Carl and Pauline, they felt it pretty hard when that happened.
Yep.
Because
also
of that.
The fact they were working 7 days and 20 hours every day.
That's it. It was very different for me because there wasn't any production happening. I mean, I just had surgery, so it was a very interesting time
on
for
your knee,
all of us.
Not anywhere.
Knee surgery.
He was wearing a sumo suit and drinking, even though he's blown his knee out twice before.
Thanks, Ryan, for that. Yeah. Ryan
Smart
from Brenda. Thanks
thinking.
For that.
Student of the year here, guys.
So it was difficult to kind of get through, but it was kind of like a baby step to make sure. But the administrators were great.
They
really helped us out. So that made it a lot easier, but on this side anyway.
Yep. Where else do you see what you're going to do? Are you going to just stop brewing here and go to TAFE? Are you going to stop TAFE and go here? Because you can't...
I can't do it forever.
You're a young man, to a degree.
To a degree.
Your birthday was yesterday. Big 3-0, wasn't it?
No, God, no. No, 27.
Should be 30.
Yeah.
You're old enough to be 30. Gimli is the dwarf.
Yeah, Gimli, yeah.
You're not young forever. I remember being young and working 90-hour weeks because money's money.
Yeah.
Fucking loving it.
Yeah. There's only so long I can do it.
Yeah. Nat won't let you do it for
no,
forever.
No, no. Nat would kick my ass if I kept doing it. But look, it's one of those things I'm torn because I really love the venue and I think it's got a lot of potential here and I love brewing. But also I'm really keen and passionate about like the ability to help sort of the new brewers coming in. Well, that's a great opportunity that I've been given to be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's one of those,
Educating is awesome.
Yeah, I'm really keen. I mean, I think this next week's my first sort of full proper week.
On your own.
Yeah, I've still got Kate and Hendo sort of shadowing.
Yep.
Until I get my teacher's call.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah,
still gotta do the TAE and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's really great to be able to do that, so it'll be interesting.
What do you think about the quote, "Those who can't do, teach"?
Ouch.
That's a dig at you, Hendo.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You want to educate, you want to share your knowledge, right? It's one of those nice things. And people who want to learn.
Yeah, and that's it. Anyone who's willing to learn and put the time and effort in, it's like,
especially too, because TAFE's not cheap.
No.
I don't know if you had to pay full price for that call. I had to pay full squid.
Yeah, yeah.
$6,000 or something,
yeah. Luckily, it's fee-free at the moment.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, for everyone else who's coming in.
Should have waited.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, for me, it was a massive commitment.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm doing this course. I'm paying full squid for it.
You wanted as much out of it.
I am going to do every single step and minute and enjoy and take in it all.
Yeah.
Are you finding that commitment, because it is fee-free, are they as committed? Are students as committed? Or, like, obviously they're committed, right? Everyone who enjoys brewing and takes the initiative to do a TAFE course is committed.
Yeah.
But there's obviously different levels.
Yeah, look, I think at the moment with the fee-free, there's a lot of people that are going, I'd love to give that a go.
Yep.
And it may not be for any other particular reason than they might do a little bit of brewing at home, or they might just want a career change and they think this might be interesting. And people give it a go. Sometimes it doesn't work out for them. So they do pull out. They go, actually, this isn't for me. I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
Not here. But the remainder that do go through, keen as mustard.
It can be like having to go back to school again.
It is. It's daunting.
Dude, I'm 45.
I know what it was like for me.
Yeah, I'm 45. Yeah. I haven't been to school in, shit, God knows how long, 25 years.
Yeah.
Because I was doing my diploma of hospitality management in my 18, 19, 20. And I hated that. And I thought, I never want to have to do this again. And I thought I was living my life doing things, but I changed my career.
Yeah.
I was in IT, I was working around, and I was still doing hospitality.
Yep.
But I was in IT, I was full on in IT.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to get into beer and brewing, and I was talking to Hendo, and I got in the course. And I remember he said to me, and he goes, well, it's not to muck around. And I'm like, mate, I'm spending $6,000.
Yeah, I'm not, yeah.
I'm losing 2 days of work a week at my job to do this. I'm not mucking around either, like this.
Yeah.
It's fucking important to me as well.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it is important. But then the youth of today are very different because they can chop and change careers.
Yeah.
Do a whole lot of different stuff as
well. But it is an interesting course. It's not like your standard hospitality course that you would go and do your commercial cookery or your Cert 3 in hospitality.
Yeah.
It is very much an older audience. I think the course range, we've had anyone from 18 up to, I think there was someone in their 50s.
Yeah, that was Mason.
Yeah. Sorry, Mason. Doing it. And anywhere from coming straight into the industry to, I already own a brewing company.
Yep.
I just want to learn a bit more about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a really very varied sort of cohort that come through.
Is it a lot of home brewers that are trying to get into the industry, or is it people who are in the industry that need
a bit of a mix, I think, at the moment. There's obviously some that are already in industry, and a lot of them are local breweries, so Felons, Green Beacon, there's a few others around like that. But there's also those that are home brewers who go, I'm keen to have a career change.
Why did you do it? Because you were brewing commercially.
I partially down to Hendo, because I think I reached out to him and I said, because I'd been accepted to go down to Hobart U and study and do the postgrad in fermentation processing through down in Tasmania.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Hendo, he goes, oh, no, don't stay, like, we're, because the TAFE course was an option, but it was only full-time, but they were just releasing a part-time.
Yeah.
So, and actually, I want to get my ticket, want to actually get that formal qual.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's why I ended up doing it, which was great.
Yeah, cool. I just, it comes to me now, I still realise I haven't got my certificate because I moved.
Oh, yeah. So you still haven't had it delivered. So
I still haven't got it delivered. Maybe you can help me out with that. Where do you think TAFE's going to go with it? Are they going to... And you can't speak on behalf of TAFE,
obviously.
And don't tell me any inside knowledge that shouldn't be shared, obviously. But is it going to grow? Like, at the moment, it's a Cert 1.
Cert 3. Yeah, Cert 3.
Is Cert 4 an apprenticeship?
Or
is there a Cert 4 something?
So,
like the,
my
the
understanding...
Diploma, where
so,
is it?
So my understanding, there is a diploma and there is a Cert 4, but there's no content, there's no course material.
Yeah.
It hasn't. So I think in the future they are looking.
Yeah.
But
it's a growing industry.
It's a growing industry. But I think for the time being, they're definitely comfortable with it. There's not enough teachers to even do the Cert 3 for the full capacity that they need. So I think, there's probably that growth that will come later on as the sort of industry needs it.
Yep.
But I know with the IBA and all of that, I know there's been some IBA releases that they're going, hang on, we'd love a traineeship sort of program.
Yep.
Which is great, and would be a great, probably the first step that TAFE would take.
Yeah.
In going in that direction.
Is there any plans? So, we never went to the Mount Gravatt.
No, it wasn't in. It wasn't operational when we were.
It wasn't a thing.
No.
Yeah.
Mount Gravatt, what's that? Yeah.
Well, yeah. What is it?
So it's a little microbrewery with, I believe there's 4 Braumeisters.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a really tiny little couple of kits over there.
Yep.
Where they use the SS BrewTech.
Just to get the brewing process.
Yeah, and it's doing all of those sort of intro sort of subjects like health and safety stuff. Well, your first part's your health and safety.
Yep.
Sort of understanding malting processes and all of those base sort of knowledge requirements and modules that they do get done over there. They do make a couple of beers, pilot some of the beers that the Froth Wookiees, the TAFE Brewery produce, as well as I think they make a couple of fun little projects while they're over there as well.
Yeah, well, I bet your Hendo's over there.
No, he's too busy doing the full part-time. He's too busy doing the part-time and flying around wherever he goes.
Yeah.
So they do that for the first 3 months with Stuart, and then they come over to the brew lab over at Cooper's Plains, where they play on the 250-litre kit.
The lab there is amazing, right?
Oh, like, it's
one of the
Christmas.
Things you have
It's Christmas
to,
for me.
Yeah, because there's everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything. You can go upstairs and even put it in the spectro.
Yeah.
Test your IBUs.
Yeah.
Like all sorts of things.
Between the two Andrews there who look after us in terms of that stuff, they do a great job looking up and helping with the students.
Yeah.
Especially the
You can sometimes come out of there because you've got all this equipment.
Yeah.
You know, you've got all these cool Anton Parr things that can cost.
Yeah, $90,000 Anton Parr. Sort of.
And you're just using it every day.
Yeah.
As part of your course. And then you come out and you go to a brewery and it doesn't have it.
Like,
you don't have it all here.
No.
Do you find that difficult?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's it's really cool gear. And there are definitely breweries that have it, obviously. But for the most part, a lot of breweries are so small that it's cost prohibitive.
Yeah,
so there's other equipment.
Because it's not just the equipment, it's all the stuff you need, the media.
It's all the consumables that you need to be able to use that sort of stuff that always adds up as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And space. Find a brewery that says, oh no, we've got plenty of space.
Oh
It doesn't exist. So having that sort of lab equipment, being able to have a specified room for it makes it a bit difficult, I think is one of the challenges.
And having the people there
who know how to operate it
and are willing to let you use it.
But that's one of the great things with the TAFE course is they get trained how to use this high-tech equipment.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty easy to operate.
Yep.
So having that ability and that knowledge to be able to do that always, yeah, it's definitely a great outcome for them.
Yeah, man. Well, so anyway, I've finished my beers.
Yeah, I'm still halfway through
you
mine.
You haven't touched yours. Guess yeah. who's talked more than
yeah,
the
yeah,
other
yeah.
It's because I ask good and poignant questions.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, yeah. I've don't worry, Matt Kierkegaard. I'm not coming for your job. I want to interview Matt.
Yeah, it'd be great, actually.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Except I'm real scared he's going to turn the interview around.
Around and interview you.
And I'm interviewed. And next minute I'll be like, going, oh, yeah, I did this. And
yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go grab a beer. Joel hasn't even finished his, but
yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to grab a beer. I'm going to get another beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.